Well, people like P.T. Barnum and Harry Houdini made a fortune from doing the unbelievable. P.T. Barnum's sideshows were all about the unbelievable oddities such as mermaids, Tom Thumb, the world's smallest man, the bearded lady, and other people who were commonly referred to as sideshow freaks. Today, even there are all kinds of museums all over the country, such as Ripley's, believe it or not, that attract thousands each year just to see the unbelievable. And so at times, we often make fun of people that believe the unbelievable. Think about the number of people who claim to have seen aliens or experienced alien abductions. How many of us really believe those stories? Some people seem to be very open to the unbelievable, while others are highly skeptical. Some people are so skeptical that they refuse to believe evidence in front of them, no matter how conceivable or inconceivable things may be. Now, here's a clip from one of my favorite movies.
Why are you doing that?
Are you sure nobody's following us?
That would be inconceivable.
Despite what you think, you will be caught. And when you are, the prince will see you all hanged.
You're sure nobody's follow us?
As I told you, it would be absolutely, totally, and in all other ways, inconceivable. No one in Gilder knows what we've done. And no one in Florin could have gotten here so fast.
He's climbing the rope. And he's gaining on us.
Inconceivable. Faster!
I thought I was going faster. Got very good arms.
He didn't fall? Inconceivable!
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Culture called The Princess Bride, it is a movie to enjoy. Vicini is a criminal mastermind, thought he had performed the perfect kidnapping. He had a hard time believing that the dread pirate Roberts could be chasing them. To him, it was inconceivable for someone to follow them. Inconceivable that somebody could climb faster than his giant. And inconceivable that Robert survived the cutting of the rope. Well, in our resurrection story, we had some people that ignored the evidence and doubted Jesus had risen. And nobody was a bigger skeptic than Thomas. To him, it was inconceivable. If you remember the previous weeks, we were looking at the words of Jesus that he said after the cross. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about and looked at how and why the disciples were hiding behind locked doors. Because they had a lot to fear. The Romans, the Jews, many others could be after them. But one would think that after following Jesus for 3 years, watching him perform numerous miracles, including walking on the water, healing the sick, raising Lazarus from the dead, that the disciples would be out shouting in the streets that the Messiah had now performed his greatest miracle by conquering death. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, it wasn't just really a few weeks ago they saw him bring Lazarus from the tomb. And now Jesus is not in the tomb. You'd think they'd be out having a party celebrating. Jesus is the greatest. But instead of having a fervent belief at the side of the empty tomb, fear and doubt overcame the disciples. And even after hearing the reports from the women that Jesus had been seen alive and the reports from two men traveling to Emmaus, do they go out looking for him? No. Luke 24 says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement. The disciples finally see Jesus for themselves, and they're so overcome with joy and amazement that some of them still can't believe that it's real. And Jesus leaves them, and later the disciples are joined by Thomas, who missed this particular appearance. And we all know the story of doubting Thomas. Thomas told the others he wasn't about to take anyone's word for it. He had to see it for himself because it was inconceivable. The scripture you heard earlier says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, by the way, which means twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in my hands, put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand, put it into my side, stop doubting and believe. Jesus starts with the phrase that we looked at 2 weeks ago, peace be with you. A calming phrase, a phrase of assurance, a phrase that says, relax, I got this. And after trying to put Thomas at ease, he says to Thomas, look, feel, touch, I'm real. But then quickly he said, stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas walked with him for years. Thomas had heard firsthand that Jesus was alive, yet he did not believe. I mean, I could hear Thomas being like Vizzini from our movie clip. The women came back from the tomb saying, hey, our Lord is risen. And Thomas said, inconceivable. Peter and John come back out of breath. The tomb is really empty. Inconceivable. The travelers on the road to Emmaus come running back after dinner and said, he walked with us and he talked to us and he broke bread and we realized it was him. And Thomas said, inconceivable. And of the disciples that tell Jesus showed up and ate with them, and Thomas probably said inconceivable in some Aramaic or Hebrew version, I could hear one of the other disciples say to him, you keep using that word, but I do not think it means what you think it means. But finally, Jesus appears right in front of him, and he says, stop doubting and believe. And finally, he does believe. But I think Thomas, unfortunately, represents a lot of people who claim to be Christians. Thomas had a lot of knowledge who Jesus was and what Jesus taught. Thomas had the testimony of many others, yet he did not believe. Many of us have a lot of knowledge of who Jesus was. We have the testimony of many disciples directly from the Bible. And we also have the testimony of people today who have experienced Jesus. Yet I think that many who claim to be Christians don't really believe. I mean, they don't have a real, no doubt about it, kind of faith. Ask yourself, do you really believe? Thomas believed. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. He said, my Lord and my God. Can you say that? Can you say he is my Lord? Can you say he is my God? Because that's different than saying you are a Christian. That's different than saying, I believe there is a God. My Lord, my God. And it's not that you just say it. Do you live like he is your Lord? Do you live like he is your God? Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. None of us have physically touched the holes in Jesus' hands like Thomas. But many of us have seen Jesus in other ways. We have seen the love of Christ in our fellow believers. We have seen people who truly serve to meet the needs of others. We have seen people who boldly proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And many of us have certainly seen the power of answered prayer. my Lord and my God. Is this a statement that defines your life? If I asked your friends, what is most important in your life? Would they say it was your faith or your job? Would they say it's your faith or a sports team? Would they say it's your faith or your car? Would they say it's your faith or your clothes? Would they say it's your faith or your money? You see, if we truly believe, people should see where our heart truly is. When asked what is most important in your life or what best describes your life, would anyone describe you as a man or woman of faith? Would anyone say that there is nothing more important to you than your faith? Nothing is more important to you than serving God through His church? Would anyone say you're the kind of person that just can't keep your nose out of the Bible? Would anyone say that your conversations are always about Jesus this and Jesus that? It's time for us to start doubting, and it's time for us to start believing. I mean, really believing. Really believing that God is God. That Christ is His Son. That Christ really died. That Christ was really buried. And that Christ really rose on the third day. To really believe that we can be saved from our sins, forgiven, and transformed to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you a real believer? Stop doubting and believe. Saying you believe does not make you a Christian. Living out your belief is what makes you a Christian. And we're about to share in Holy Communion. Taking these elements doesn't necessarily make you a Christian, but believing in what they represent and living out what they mean does make us a Christian. Being baptized, having an altar call moment, hitting an emotional high during a Christian retreat, reading your Bible, attending church, and saying prayers, these can be the beginnings and should be a part of your experience as a Christian. But they are just moments unless you come away a believer who gets it, a believer who lives it. In our walk of faith, we're all going to have moments of epic failure. But real faith, real belief will keep us coming back to Christ. Real faith will keep us back, coming back to the foot of the cross for forgiveness. Real faith will bring us back to start living again for Christ. And the question is, are you willing to do this today? Are you ready to meet Jesus at the table and say, my Lord and my God? Are you ready to start doubting and really start believing? Because we can come here and say we're Christians, but it's what we do that defines that we're Christians. It's living it out that makes us Christians. It's about those people saying, you're weird. Why are you always at the church? Why are you always reading the Bible? Why are you always praying? Why are you always doing that? And you can say, because He's my Lord and my God, and I believe. 2,000 years ago, Jesus shared the final meal with His disciples. They thought they knew what they believed. They thought Jesus was going to set up a kingdom like David. And they thought they were going to sit around the table. In our terminology, they would kind of put themselves like knights of the round table. Oh, I'm the best. I'm the greatest. I'm going to sit on the right hand. I get to sit on the left hand. They thought they believed. They thought they knew. They thought they had a king who rode in triumphantly. They thought they had a king who cleansed the temple and kicked out the money changers. They thought they had a king who was ready to defy the Pharisees and the other religious leaders. And they thought they knew what they believed. But before they knew it, their leader was arrested. Tried twice. Convicted. Condemned. Beaten. Crucified. And thrown in a grave. Hastily. Not even time to prep the body. Wrap him up and throw him in. And then Jesus wasn't there. And Jesus came out and said, there's a new way. And he reminded the travelers on the road to Emmaus. He said, you remember that night that I shared? Remember that night when I took the bread and I blessed it, gave thanks to God, I broke it and told you that this is my body given for you? And then they said, ah, there was a meaning to that, huh? And when Jesus took the cup and gave thanks to God, he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. This is the new way. In his life, he said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Stop doubting and believe the truth. His blood is a cleansing blood. He represents the Lamb that was sacrificed for all our sins and transgressions. Not just the ones that had been committed up to that time, but all sins for all time and all ways. He says, I'm going to take that penalty away if you stop doubting and believe. If you believe in me, then you believe in the Father. If you believe in me, my place has many rooms. Stop doubting and believe. These may be just bread for you. It may be just grape juice for you. And if that's how you come, that's all it will ever be to you. And it'll be just a moment to wait in line and walk around and get back into your seat until is it time for dinner yet? But if you believe and you come here with a heart to say, Lord, forgive me, Lord, cleanse me, Lord, strengthen me, Lord, renew me, I guarantee it will happen. But you have to stop doubting and believe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come together as your church to share in this table. Lord, there are many times when we try to do it right. And there are times we do get it. But all too often we have failures. All too often we miss opportunities. All too often we make choices that are against your will, that are against your teachings. Lord, today we come to you in humble silence, each of us offering our confessions to you. Lord, we lift our sins up to you now. And Lord, because you are holy and just, you have promised to us that if we truly come with a repentant heart and ask for forgiveness, that our sins have been forgiven. And your psalmist David told us that our sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. Lord, I believe that. Lord, I believe in your healing power. I believe in your forgiving power. And I believe in your power to transform this congregation into a congregation on fire with the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we come and take these elements, may they become more than just what they are. May they truly become the elements of his body, so that by partaking it, we may be redeemed by his blood, living out the mission of the church. Lord, all of this we ask in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If I could have all the youth and the adults that are going on the trip to come up front here, just come and stand together right here. So in just less than 2 weeks, our youth and a group of adults will be going on their annual mission trip. They will again be serving, meeting the needs of many on Edisto Island in South Carolina. The youth group has a history of doing great things and coming back as changed people. And I believe the Holy Spirit can and will do those great things again this year. And the verse of their trip this year is James 2:18, correct? James is my favorite book of the Bible, so I'm glad you guys chose that. And this happens to be my favorite passage. I meant to bring it. I even have a softball bat that I had the letters engraved on there. But James 2:18 says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.'" Let us pray together. My Lord, my God, I believe in the power of your Holy Spirit. I believe that you can keep our youth and their leaders safe as they travel. I believe that you can use their talents and their gifts to change the lives of the people they serve. I believe you can reveal yourself in a way that deepens their faith in you. Lord, I pray that each and every day people see through their faith, see their faith through their deeds. It is through the mighty power of the Holy Spirit and your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray this blessing upon them. We ask all of this in your name, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, our closing song is a contemporary song called "Live Like That." And so you can return to your seats, but stay standing. Some of you may not know this contemporary song, and it may not exactly be your style. But let me tell you, it has a great message, and that's what I want you to hear. And if you can sing along with it, please do so. But the chorus says, "I want to live like that and give it all I have so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I stand, recklessly abandoned, never holding back. I want to live like that." And so let's send our youth off with this song. So let me ask you, do you want to live like that? Then stop doubting and believe. Do you want to see Jesus do even greater things through this church? Then stop doubting and believe. Our faith should leave no doubt in others to where we stand. We need to go and make a difference. We need to stop what? Stop doubting and believe. Okay, there was some doubt there. We need to stop doubting. And we need to
believe.
It's much better when you participate. See, when we stop doubting and believe, we can live like that. We can give it all we have so that everything we say and do points people to Jesus Christ. So as you go now from here, stop doubting and believe. Go live out your faith in the name of the Father and of the Son and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.